some things the Australians want, and so it's a kind of mishmash. But basically what I'm going to be talking about is what the Americans want, because they are the ones driving this, and basically everyone else is fighting them. For example, for patents, they want to be able to patent animals. They think that would be a really good idea. Another good idea, they think, is that you can patent surgical methods. So whereas we tend to think of health as being something you just, you know, try and help by letting doctors do what they can, they actually want to patent it. So you get people who will be forbidden from doing operations because it might infringe on someone's patent. So that's another really...
That was already mentioned. That's amazing. Japan, to just join the discussion, had to suspend selling of health insurance for catastrophic cancer, which I guess you could buy an extra policy above their general plan. Isn't that outrageous? It's already half a minute into the Labor Hour show. They're fulminating here. I got them all fired up, so that's good. That was Glenn Moody, and he wrote a lot about Linux. He's most recently published something on the Canadians.org. He's based in London. Got a good bio here, but he's busy on Twitter, too. He already responded to me this morning when I told him that audio segment is not, the YouTube version of it is not available right now. So, again, I got that from Paradigm Tales, a primer on the TPP, and it was even more of a collage with my editing than it was, but a lot of that was the way it was. So, and that was the way it was. Right out of here. Thanks for listening, and the great resources are available. Stop Fast Track is the most immediate one, since they're twisting a lot of arms. The White House trade representatives are twisting a lot of arms. Again, commend to your attention Labor Hour's document from a couple of weeks ago when they interviewed Margaret Flowers. It's up at radioforall.net, where you can also find the Paradigm Tales. And let's see. Liftoff.
We're just not working. Hello, folks. Welcome to another edition of the World Labor Hour, brought to you on the air at WFT, listener-supported community radio station in Champaign, Illinois, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and webcasting live worldwide at WEFT.org. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WFT Station Manager, Board of Directors, or of Prairie Air Incorporated. And now we'll read some of our underwriting announcements. This hour program is brought to you in part by Central Illinois Jobs with Justice, a coalition of union and community groups working for economic justice and workers' rights. Central Illinois Jobs with Justice holds regular meetings on the third Saturday of every month. For more information or for the unemployed and underemployed helpline, call 217-328-2295. And the Illinois Labor Hour is supported in part by the listeners of WFT and by the AFL-CIO of Champaign County. The AFL-CIO represents the interests of more than 7,000 workers in Champaign County and more than 13 million workers nationwide. Recognizing that strong workers build strong communities, the AFL-CIO is proud to support community radio in East Central Illinois. And the Illinois Labor Hour is also supported by the Illinois Education Association Union. The Illinois Education Association's mission is to effect excellence and equity in public education and to be the advocacy organization for all public education employees. And this program on World Labor Hour is also supported in part by Decatur attorney Bill Favor, who believes that the mission of the law is the safety of the people. Bill Favor proudly supports the World Labor Hour and the Graduate Employees Organization Union, GEO, at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign strives to not only democratically represent graduate employees, but also to give solidarity and support to other unions, organizations, and workers engaged in the struggle for social justice both on and off campus. The GEO is proud to support the World Labor Hour on WFT Community Radio. Okay, we're going to be having an interesting program today. We're going to be opening up the phone lines for any and all listeners to call in with any of their comments. And that number you need to call is 217-359-5483. That's 217-359-5483. We'll mention the number again during the program as well. But today it's going to be Bill and I, and we're just going to kind of have an open program here, kind of talking, you know, I've got a few news stories here, and pretty much it's going to be a free-for-all today, if you will. So, you know, you got anything you want to say, just call in any time at the number. So, Bill, what's been happening with you?
Well, what's been happening with you is I actually...
Oh, here we go.
Well, we got a call. We'll see what's happening with the caller.
Okay. Hello, WFT, you're on the air.
Jim Iman, Workers' World View, Urbana Public Television.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I got some topics for you.
Okay.
Let's start with the surveillance state.
The surveillance state, okay.
Yeah, which we live under with the National Security Agency, everything that's been discovered by Edward Snowden and others.
Mm-hmm.
It's been compared to the Stasi. In East Germany.
The old intelligence agency, yeah, the Gestapo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. But the Stasi, they were like kindergarten kids compared to what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would open people's mail, you know, to see if they thought, because they were full of spies in East Germany.
Yes.
You know, West German spies, CIA spies. It was a necessary defense strategy for them to use. But what we're doing here is we have forced the American people into this neoliberal state of degradation, really. You know, it's like everything is going down. You know, wages are going down despite the fact that they say they're going up. We know that.
Yeah, Jim, it's my contention that human civilization peaked in 1970. And actually, wages peaked in 1970 as part of it.
Uh-huh.
And the security state thing is really interesting, too. It kind of makes you wonder, they were listening to Angela Merkel, other people.
Yeah, the president of Brazil.
Who are supposedly their friends. Now, I wonder if they're listening or checking out... maybe heads of major labor organizations and...
The ones they haven't bought off, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
I've got to turn the radio down.
Okay, all right.
Dave, you can turn my headphones down if you'd like. If you can find the right thing over there. Okay, I might mess with it.
Okay. But neoliberalism is a form of... like the fast track to neo-fascism, because when you're pushing austerity on everybody, especially in Europe, what we're seeing is the rise of neo-fascism, and we don't see the left anywhere. Now, we had, for example, a couple of years ago, the Syriza coalition in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard nothing from them. We've heard nothing from the Socialist Workers' Party in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere right now. My question is, how much austerity can the American people take before they rebel?
That's the $100,000, $100 million question, I think.
You know, somebody we're not hearing from that I'd like to see some things from, and that's in Ukraine, and that's famine. What happened to famine?
What's famine, Bill?
Famine is actually, it's a group of extremely attractive women who do things like strip teases in front of the Vatican.
Oh, really?
That's their form of protest.
Interesting. Never heard of them.
Yeah,
before.
But it's actually turned out that they're actually led by a man.
Oh,
but it's really interesting what they do. But and it's been really effective. I mean, it's like people just start freaking out. Cops drag them away.
Yeah. Now, Jim, getting back to the whole point about austerity and the whole NSA spying. Do you think that the NSA spying is because the powers that be, both here in the United States and the other capitalist classes in the other countries in the world, are frightened? They're afraid of the people's, rebelling against it?
You hit the nail right on the head, David. Exactly. And so they want to know, as soon as somebody's name comes up as a leader,
mm-hmm.
they'll be able to track everything they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that also, too, with the metadata they're talking about, oh, that's not so bad. They'll be able to track every person that person's ever been in contact with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, it's interesting. On Facebook, I saw an interesting article in regards to this NSA spying, is that one purpose, at least this is what the author was speculating about, was some of the purpose of this NSA spying on world leaders and other world politicians and heads of whatever unions they haven't bought off, basically is a future form of blackmail in case they get out of line.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. It's also corporate intelligence against other corporations.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't come up very often,
mm-hmm.
where they can tell what they're up to, because they still compete with each other.
Mm-hmm. Even though they circle the wagons on the class war issues,
they certainly do.
Yeah. There are divisions. Yeah. I think, a lot of people, I've always believed this, that there are divisions within the ruling class in each country and also internationally, of course, between ruling classes of different countries.
Yeah, well, just as there's divisions in the labor movement,
exactly,
too.
Exactly. So we probably, we don't want to give them more credit than they deserve. In other words, they're not omniscient. On the other hand,
they're not the Illuminati, and if they're not all, and they're at Davos right now, and there's people disagreeing, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
On some real specific items.
Yeah. So, but on the other hand, though, I mean, I'll tell you what, it's sure interesting, though, how, especially like, say, the corporate media, how even though they're supposed to be competing against each other, how they have quite uniform policies as far as what they don't cover, what they spend, and who they exclude. One, I think, case in point was when that one year when they had the Super Bowl, when they let George Bush have a commercial, but they wouldn't let an anti-war group pay for a commercial and have it aired him.
The Super Bowl, man. Mm-hmm. Does that not remind you of Leni Riefenstahl films? the Olympia?
Yeah.
My God, man.
Triumph of the Will or whatever,
I don't watch these things usually. I might go ahead and watch it this year, at least have it on. But the last time I saw just like the introduction leading up to the game, man, it was like so martial art, so martially oriented, and mm-hmm. I don't mean Marshall Dillon, I mean M-A-R-T-I-A.
Uh-huh.
Right. You know?
Okay, Jim, so, go ahead.
So, it's going to be impossible to organize a revolution over the internet. For years I've been saying, even before Snowden, that the left has got to think in military terms. That this is going, we knew it was going on even before we realize the depth of it. I guess Google's coming up with something that even that can encrypt phone messages now. If you've got somebody on the other end, can decrypt it. But it's just very, very strange. And the appearance, Europe today looks like Germany did in about 1930.
Well, here's another one, Jim. Have you ever heard of the Tor network or the Tor system?
I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it, though.
Well, it was actually created at the behest of the American government to allow people in other countries, especially like, say, the Arab Spring, to communicate anonymously. Then it was kind of taken over by people selling dope and prostitution and stuff, and it became like the deep web. And now they're going after people on there, and they're not necessarily going after the criminals. Mm-hmm. They're starting to check out everybody on there and completely defeating the purpose that they created it for.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Sure.
But I'll also tell you, somebody who's working on these things, who used to live in Champaign, was instrumental in creating the Independent Media Service Center here, is Sasha Meinrath.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He's definitely somebody to check out on Facebook. He doesn't come up very much, but he comes up every once in a while, and they're working on a lot of things like this. I think they're working on a kind of a cell phone networking system that would not be under anybody else's control at all. It could be set up between people's cell phones.
Mm-hmm. But, I've always had the opinion that for both organizing and to prevent surveillance, low-tech's the key. Face-to-face organizing, face-to-face communication. And people got to realize every time you use that grocery store gas card, you're creating a record.
Well, yeah, you're leaving a trail every time.
Every time you use a credit card, you're creating a record.
And pretty soon, cash will be gone.
Well, they're going to try to do that. I really sincerely believe that.
Bitcoin's the new thing.
But then you have Bitcoin. I don't know. Maybe there's always some. Maybe Hegel was right.
In terms of what?
Well, we get rid of cash, and now we got Bitcoin. And so what's going to happen to the synthesis between those two things to set up a new antithesis?
I'm not a real big fan of Tom Hartman, but I think Tom Hartman's right that there's going to be an international currency collapse before 2016.
Yeah, he has a new book out, doesn't he?
Yes.
And what's the title of it? I can't remember. It's something in regards to this.
I think it's The Crash of 2016.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, okay.
And our good friend Max Kaiser, the Kaiser Report on RT, he says it's going to happen sooner.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have with Max? What's his deal about? He's pretty cool about everything, but he's into gold.
Well, I know Bitcoin.
He's got this big thing. He's like a gold bug, and I don't understand that at all.
Well, the thing is, actually, if you were going to invest in metal right now, silver is the one to invest in. Gold is overpriced, and there's no gold to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Buy shares of gold. Try and get your hands on the gold.
That's
why he's into it.
Uh huh. My father always used to say, back in the 70s, late 70s, when gold prices were going up, I asked him one time, I said, "You going to buy some gold, Dad?" And he said, "Well, you know what?" He goes, "If things get that bad economically," he goes, "you can't eat gold." He goes, "What you need to have is food, water supply, shelter, and plenty of ammunition." And
well, Dave, you know what I'm investing in? Instead of buying gold, I'm buying cherry trees, fruit trees, berry bushes, and things like that. And if you walk up to me and you got some gold and I got some nice cherries and berries and veggies and all that, you're going to starve. unless you have another metal called lead in the form of bullets, then you'll probably get fed.
Okay. Wow. This is quite an interesting conversation here. We've hit on a lot of different tangents here, but
right. I got a couple of other.
Yes, go ahead.
You guys can tackle here.
Okay.
Now, the Defense of Marriage Act is always talked about,
mm-hmm.
being defeated in the Supreme Court. The same day, the Voting Rights Act was gutted.
Interesting.
The very same day.
Interesting. I wasn't aware of that happening on the same day.
Yeah, absolutely. All on the same day. And the gutting of the Voting Rights Act was, the cover was getting rid of the Defense of Marriage Act.
Hmm. Interesting.
And listening to Abby Martin the other day, you ought to get a kick out of this.
On RT television?
I sure did on RT, was that there's a state senator in Wyoming that decided to make more, less expensive the cost of killing somebody legally in jail, you know, rather than gas chambers and all this money.
Yeah.
Either reinstituting a public hanging or a fire squad and giving.
Oh, man.
Now, I wish I was kidding here.
Yes.
But if Wyoming institutes public hanging, it's like the good old West, you know, I think they should be disenfranchised as a state and made a U.S. territory.
Well, you know, I don't know what states they are, Jim, but actually there are three states in the United States that do still shoot people.
Utah, I think, was one of them.
Yeah, that's Joe Hill.
Yeah, that's Joe Hill, yeah. But, Gary Gilmore, I think his name was.
Gary Gilmore.
Florida.
Oh, really?
Well, Trayvon Martin.
Okay.
But that it was an extrajudicial killing. However, it was, I got to get back on, probably what I want to get into today is some hobby horses that I do quite often, which would be more culturally and public relations oriented too. Because I really think that is the true key to what's going on. Because here's the thing, man. You cannot, it is study after study after study comes out, and you cannot convince people of things through logic and facts at all. I don't know if there's been a change in human psychology over the last couple of generations or not. But
doesn't
that
go back to Edward Bernays, appealing to the people's emotions as opposed to their logic and
That could be it. Is mm-hmm. there's been too much, and I don't know. It just seems to me when I go back, you go back on something like the letters from Civil War soldiers, and mm-hmm. or what you know working people were saying maybe in the 1880s and the 1930s, mm-hmm. and it just seems so much more articulate.
Really,
than most things you come out now, and I don't know if it's because of this emotional thing. It seemed like. But there's just, it's now, if you try and argue with somebody with facts and logic, it just reinforces their opinion. I was reading this article on a guy who's been studying right-wing authoritarianism since 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And what he means by that is people who follow totalitarian leaders. Hitler might not have been an authoritarian. Mm-hmm. He was a leader of the authoritarian people. Mm-hmm. And in Germany, this study is really big, too. They're really concerned about this stuff. And it's just basically, you there is no way you can even communicate with about 20% at least of the population of the United States.
No, I'm not arguing that point at all. The problem is, the reason you can't communicate with them is they don't want to be communicated with.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, they're the more afraid. You try and talk to them, the more they're convinced that they're right.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is, okay, I'm going to make that, I'm going to jump that up to 40%. Maybe it's on both ends of the spectrum. You know, we got a normal curve. We got people in the middle who, and I find so many people who I believe are just, and I will, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm no real big hero in a lot of situations, man. If I'm around a whole bunch of racist people and stuff, I keep my head down, okay? And I think a lot of people do that. And sometimes I'll be with somebody on their own, like on a job or something, and I'll realize there's this person, and I'll bring something up, you know, and not be too confrontative. And it's almost like they're relaxed. They're relieved that they don't have to sit here and be such a, you know, kind of a bad badass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and And I think, sorry, Jim.
It's just my main concern is the lack of consciousness or class consciousness.
True, that's Europe, part of, big part.
We don't, even the Europe, most of the Europeans, and probably very little number of people in this country understand what happened in Europe. We got to go back to about 2005, maybe even farther, when all these toxic assets were sold from Wall Street. At that time, mainly, all Wall Street banks, but J.P. Morgan Chase,
mm-hmm.
and others. Goldman Sachs, I think, was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan. But they were, you know, triple rated. You know, triple A rated stocks that were totally toxic. So what happened was Wall Street bet that those stocks were going to fail and made trillions of dollars on this. This is easy to find out.
Mm-hmm.
It's available information.
Yeah, a good movie to check out on this is Charles Ferguson's Inside Job, which won some awards, best documentary of the year, about the whole criminal activity, behind this whole financial collapse worldwide.
Well, yeah, and the reason it's able to happen, though, Jim, is it's because when you go back, you look at something like the EPA, OSHA, affirmative action, Richard Nixon, not exactly a liberal person at all, and these banks, they were under control up to a point, up until
the 80s,
until
early 80s.
Was that it, early 80s? But look what happened. It was a cultural turnaround. It was instigated in large part by Lewis Powell. And that's what, I don't know how we can do it. We can't do it on the internet. We can't do it through TV. We can only do it face to face with people, because that's really all we have. And it's the most convincing thing. One conversation is worth 1,000 political ads. Okay?
I agree. Mm-hmm. Bill, you're absolutely right. We have to get more social.
But see, people did have more of a class consciousness. I remember guys I used to talk to in the generation before mine, or maybe even beyond that, come out of the 30s that were still in the trades, and their consciousness, they might have been racist or something else, but when it came down to the boss and class, they were there. It's like the old Teamster. One day there was a big shooting, one of the first mass shootings in the 80s at a McDonald's, and this older guy goes, "That guy, if he wanted to shoot his real enemies, he should have went to the country club." there's just something like that. People just don't think like that now.
Well, why? You know what? I mean, look what's going on, though. I mean, 24/7 propaganda. Not just news programs, corporate media news programs, but entertainment. Entertainment and culture, as you've pointed out many times, Bill, is a form of, not only a form of propaganda, but a very persuasive one. I mean, this is what, this is more subtle, but yet I think in some ways more effective than outright, so-called information.
Yeah, like look at the 1970s, okay? Truck drivers were major movie heroes,
mm-hmm.
huh? You had, not so much the Jeffersons, because they're already bourgeois, but
Laverne and Shirley. All these, I know where you're going.
Everything
with this
was more working class based. People felt there were references to unions on shows. I remember when I was young, I don't know, maybe I'm just weird on these things. I remember people, a lot of times you'd be on watching the TV and one character would say to another about their job. They'd be talking about their job and they go, "Do you have dental?" And they go, "Oh, yeah." Like it was a big deal. And it's.
Jim, your thoughts on this?
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay, and then I'm going to sign off because I've taken a half an hour of your time already.
Well, not quite, but nevertheless.
I think I took about 10 minutes at least.
Anyway, your thoughts on what we just mentioned.
Well, actually, I have no disagreement with any of that. It's just, people have become so isolated today.
And that's what the ruling class wants.
It's exactly what they want. They're compartmentalized. People don't even get together to make love anymore. It's internet sex.
Hey, Jim, I want to ask you something.
I'm curious about this.
Were you in Milwaukee in the early 60s?
Yes, I was.
Okay, was it really like Laverne and Shirley?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's a good program.
No, seriously, it was very class conscious, and I worked at Galoon Tannery for a while, where you had a on the tanning lines, it was all female workers, and when the male boss came in every day, they would just rag on him, Okay, did you get laid last night, Howard? Stuff like this, and it was a defense mechanism. It took me a week or so to understand what they were doing, They had to go after the boss right away. Sexism. Go after my man, and then he's not going to, So, but yeah, no, it was. Yeah, Galoon Tannery was quite a place to work.
Wow.
Actually, it didn't smell as bad on the inside as it did on the outside.
Okay. Well, Jim, thanks so much for calling in and sharing those thoughts with us. Feel free. We want to get you actually on the show here sometime in the future.
Of course. I wish I could have done it today, but it didn't happen.
Oh, well. Okay. So thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye. You're listening to the World Labor Hour on listener support community radio station WFT in Champaign, Illinois, broadcasting 90.1 FM and webcasting live worldwide at WFT.org.
I think you can donate money at WEFT.org. Can you not, Dave?
Yes, you can.
That would be a really cool idea.
Indeed. Anything is appreciated. You don't have to wait to pledge drives to donate to WFT to help keep us on the air. Comfortably deal with is appreciated. So we're going to have a little music break, and we'll be right back.
Gotta pull this timber before the sun go down. Get it across the river before the boss come round. Drag it on down that dusty road. Come on, Jerry, let's dump this load.
Hauling
timber.
Store and a grocery too. Then
a mega mart open on the edge of town. There was nothing anybody could do. Hey, everybody's working for the man again. Everybody's working for the man. Yeah, mom and pop, they had to close up shop. Everybody's working for the man. The radio station, they played our music the way we all liked it around here. Then a big corporation with a whole lot of money told our jockeys what we wanted to hear. Now everybody's working for the man.
Okay, a couple interesting songs there. The first one was from the 1930s, Josh White, called Jerry, about a mule that had, yeah, Jerry was a work mule on a work gang, and it turns out Jerry had more guts than the average worker on the job, because he basically kicked the abusive boss. The song that followed that was from Kevin Welch, Everybody's Working for the Man Again. So anyway, you're listening to Dave, Labor Hour. And if anybody wants to call in, you can call our phone line here at 217-359-5483.
Dave, was Jerry working something? Was that about timber?
Yeah, it was like a timber, cutting timber gang, probably somewhere down south, you know, where it's based on, probably in Louisiana or Mississippi. That
probably where there was some IWW activity.
Indeed.
I remember reading about. But what that brings to mind is a show called, I believe it's called Axemen.
Oh, okay. I'm familiar with it, but I've never seen an episode. I don't watch much corporate media. I'm telling people, tune out corporate media.
Entertainment,
if you can.
I keep track of it because I know it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's like the Duck Dynasty thing. That,
oh, God.
Well, you see, that I decided I'd start checking out a whole bunch of reality shows. And I'd seen this Axemen thing. And I am so sick of these channels that call themselves the Learning Channel.
Or the History Channel, which has nothing about history.
Discovery.
Yeah, it has nothing about Discovery. Yeah.
Actually, Discovery is not that bad all the time. But, you know, Animal Planet was just found to be a total scam, endangering the lives of the animals.
That surprises.
But see, here's the thing I'm trying to say. You have all of these shows on now. You got like these Axemen shows.
Mm-hmm.
You have these shows about the guys down south who go hogging. We mm-hmm. call it hogging up here, where you go catfish with, stick your hand down in the river and see if a catfish will bite it and pull it out.
Yeah.
Okay, and you got Duck Dynasty, you got, there's some show about people in Alaska that are having a hard time. But it's all just this, the portrayal of working class people now, or, you know, people who aren't upper middle class, let me put it like that, okay, or higher. The portrayals are just awful. There's no dignity to them. And this Duck Dynasty thing is a faux, definitely a faux working class thing.
A fake working class, yes.
Yeah, these people are identifying with them, I'm sure, because they're duck hunters. And besides them actually being very successful capitalists, which is why they're on TV anyway, this, you know, the old man who's saying all this bizarre stuff about penises and vaginas and anuses and God and the Bible says this and that and the other, and if we let them marry, then they'll be beasts and, you know, and all this. Man, the dude's got a master's degree.
Yeah, he was, it's almost all fake.
He could have been a professional football player, but he didn't want it interfered with his duck hunting. He was a school teacher for many years
mm-hmm.
until he invented these duck calls. Mm. He's apparently, well, you know what it tells me? The university he went to must really suck. I mean, man, and that's another one, and this is going off on a hyperlink, but speaking of universities, what is it with Harvard?
What about Harvard?
Harvard. George Bush.
Uh-huh.
George W. Bush. That's all you have to say. Harvard MBA.
Yeah.
You know, this all this legacy stuff. I mean, Larry Summers.
Yeah.
You know, the people who are just obviously destroying everything who are not that smart, mm-hmm. apparently. boy, they can get through Harvard and get that degree.
Yeah. How did George Bush get into Yale for his undergraduate work when he had a D average in high school?
I think he had a cheerleading scholarship from his high school.
I think it was more having to do with his father and grandfather
being legacies,
large endowments.
Well, they're legacies.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and now I'm not slandering Barack Obama with this, because I don't think they're going to go out and get the stupid guy for the affirmative action slot they got. You know, they're going to go out and get somebody smart. He's just complicit because he's part of the system. But I mean, you know, okay, Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
Newt Gingrich has a PhD in history from Tulane University.
Okay, that's down New Orleans, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, and I thought it was a name, you know. Apparently, maybe they just got good football teams or something. Newt Gingrich is his doctoral dissertation was about?
What?
About how the Belgians benefited the Congolese with a really swell educational system while they were going out and killing all the people in entire villages if they didn't get enough rubber.
Yes, and mutilating them and cutting their hands and feet off if they didn't produce.
But Newt Gingrich's dissertation was about how good the Belgians were for the Congolese, man. It fits.
But you know what's also interesting?
Oh, by the way, yeah, that's right. Tulane is in the South, isn't it? Yeah.
But you know what's also interesting? Newt Gingrich and Al Gore were real good friends. They had dinner all together. Them and their wives had dinner together all the time. See, that's part of the thing about this is a lot of times this is just a big act. I mean, basically the Republican bad, Democrat good. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be such, you know, opposing, you know, enemies and forces. They're not. It's an act. Just like Duck Dynasty. It's an act. It's an illusion.
It's a reality show, folks.
Yes.
And, oh, yeah. By the way, the Animal Planet show, it's okay, there's another one similar. It's called Wild Man. This guy is an animal, a private. You can hire him. Like, I got a raccoon in my attic. Okay. Uh-huh. So you hire this guy to come get the raccoon out of your attic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Actually, what I did was go to Pike County Animal Control, and he gave me a humane trap to use.
Yeah.
It's sitting up there now. But anyway, so this Wild Man show, and what they do is supposedly it's just a call he gets from somebody, and there's a raccoon in their kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and they need somebody to get this raccoon out. And so he goes and gets it, and instead of using a trap like most sane people would, I think he's got like heavy gloves on, and he kind of fights it.
No, submission. Okay. I've seen a similar program episode before with rattlesnake hunters, yes.
Okay, well, here's what happens.
Uh-huh.
This program has deals with real trappers,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that's where they get the animals.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And they just happen to come across a male raccoon and four newborn raccoons.
Mm-hmm.
So they made this episode. And they presented the male raccoon as the mother of the four raccoons.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time that they got the baby raccoons to help, one of them died, and the other ones almost did. But you know, besides it just being unreal, this guy, he's Wild Man. Mm-hmm. He's our blue collar man now.
Mm-hmm. And then there's that other show, like you say, degrading working people, Honey Boo Boo. You know,
yeah, I don't know exactly what they're.
Oh, it's you know, it's
I don't know what her dad does for a living.
Yeah,
I don't know
he's a volunteer firefighter. I guess a firefighter. I think it is.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's volunteer, but I think I don't know. I saw like you know one or two episodes. My daughter liked and everything. And that's the first thing that struck me and my wife is you know all these shows on there just basically degrading working people. You know that's how they're portraying anybody that's a working class. You know I and this is all part of the propaganda. You know. To get you, you know, to divide us, actually. Well, some real quick public service announcements here. On Monday, February 3rd, at the Chetty Murray Foundation, corner of Oregon and Matthews in Urbana, is the Robert Reich film, showing of the Robert Reich film, Inequality for All. And that's the Chetty Murray Foundation, corner of Goodwin and Matthews on Monday, February 3rd, and that's at 6:30 p.m. And also, we want to stay tuned for today to another sports show with Neil Parthen. It's on every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. at WRFU 104.5 FM and televised Wednesday at 6 p.m. at UrbanaPublicTelevision.org and at Comcast Channel 6. Also, on every Sunday is Labor's World View TV from 4 to 5 p.m., also on Comcast Channel 6. and at the Art Theater in downtown Champaign this coming Tuesday, January 28th at 7:30 p.m. The showing of the film Healthcare in All the Wrong Places with Patch Adams and Susan Parenti. And there's going to be a discussion after the 90-minute showing of the film. So the film will be shown from 7:30 to 9 and a discussion at 9 p.m. So check out Healthcare in All the Wrong Places this Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. at the Art Theater in downtown Champaign.
Well, Susan Parenti in the movie?
Yes, she made the film, actually.
Really?
Her and some other people, yeah. And, yeah, it's a...
I haven't seen her for a long time. She's been busy making movies.
and writing a musical. She's been doing a lot of stuff, so I'm going to go check that out and everything. And because healthcare is an important issue, you know. And, of course, now let's talk about some more propaganda. I mean, now, man, that's a whole topic for a whole program, but we won't go into that.
Well, here's a related thing, Dave. It's about the media, and it's about the dumb, you know, basically not the dumbing down, perhaps, but just not telling people things.
Yeah.
I was at the fitness center yesterday, staying in shape in case a construction job comes up. And I was this guy started talking to me, and then he said he was 64 years old. And we were just talking, and I said, you know something, man? You always hear this stuff about Social Security is such a big problem, you know? And he goes, yeah, no. And I said, well, did you know that after somebody earns $133,000 in a year, nothing over that $133,000 is taken by the payroll tax? He said, no, I didn't know that. Uh-huh. And I said, you know, man, you ought to know that, but there's reasons you don't. Because these people, they spend all their time telling you that Social Security is in trouble instead of telling you what the real story is that all they'd have to do would be raise that limit a little bit and it'd be fine. You know?
Yeah.
And then there's all the income, and it doesn't even tax unearned income.
Right, exactly.
The hedge fund managers do not pay into it at all. None That's of right. that income. Mitt Romney, most of his income probably does not, you know, have any... Oh, well, no, that's right. He earned like $300,000 a year.
I doubt if
he earned speakers, it. From speaking fees, Dave.
Oh, okay. All right, here we got another caller. So let's see what...
Right?
Hold on here. Okay.
Is that the right phone?
Hello, WFT, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I wanted to ask you if you'd known this in advance, which is about unemployment benefits. You know the amount that employers are assessed on is like $7,000?
I'm sorry, repeat that again, please. Can you speak into the phone more? You're kind of quiet.
Okay. We get infected for driving around. I still see people breaking the law, driving around with their phone. Hang up and drive, damn it! All right, well, I just heard that, you know, the unemployment system is funded by a tax partially on employers, right? And they are assessed for their per employee.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount they're assessed on is like $7,000 or $8,000, less than a minimum wage worker, even if the worker makes, you know, much, much more than that.
Okay. Paul?
Did you know about that?
Well, I didn't know about that, but I do know that the amount that the unemployed person receives is based on what the income they had the year before.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, just it's kind of a parallel to social.
And it's
where the amount that the employer is assessed on rolls off at this ridiculously low level, and the unemployment fund would be much more reasonable if it taxed it up to maybe, let's say, 50% of what the person earned at prorating it or something. But it's just ridiculous how little they pay in, and we have this crisis with every month people falling off the edge, you know. It's just ridiculous. It's a revolting situation. No shit, Sherlock, as we used to say in my hometown.
Paul, you're on radio.
I know. I couldn't help myself.
That's all right. We're going broke anyway.
Yeah. No, we're not. But that was just some caller. You don't really know who I am.
Nobody recognizes your voice.
We need a tape delay.
Yeah.
Well, there was no excrematory reference in that. It was
okay.
Explicit deleted. Anyway, I'm sorry I did that, but it's just so...
I don't think anybody cares.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I wasn't aware of that $7,000 amount.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing that they don't talk about when they're talking about the problem of unemployment insurance. You know, it's absolutely absurd.
And you know what's outrageous about unemployment is here in the United States, you only get 6 months of unemployment, where in most European, Western European countries, it's like 2 years. It's also that they provide job training. I mean, after 2 years, if you can't find a job in your field, you know, for free.
Well, you know, I'm critical of the Demopublicans as well, but it is true that this is unprecedented for the unemployment level to be this high and for so many people to be long-term unemployed, for them not to extend it. I mean, under Bush, it was extended a couple of times. This is absolutely nuts. It's so punitive. It's like they're trying to get people to break the back of the worker.
Right? Sure. Right? It's okay. All part of their austerity plan, both the Republicans and the Democrats. Yes.
Yeah, you're running. But, you know, ameliorating it is probably the Democratic stance.
I don't know the exact numbers here, but I do remember, and I should brought that up, that also employers are charged more if they lay off more. You see,
like in the construction industry, they have to pay higher rates because they have constant
right, and they always pay the top rates, and that's how come they don't mess with you. They just lay you off instead of firing you and then arguing with you. Whereas a lot of other employers who don't lay off very much, they will fire you and then go argue about it. But I did find something here. I'm not sure if this is what you're talking about, but it's a table, and it says taxable wage base, and this is saying $12,960.
Okay, well, that's less, more than I thought.
But that's a lot less than a lot of people make, earn.
And obviously the employers are lobbying for as little as possible be paid into that fund.
Sure.
And then we have people. But, the most outrageous thing that happened this week is Jamie Dimon getting 74% increase of his salary. I don't know if you already talked about that.
No, we haven't. Good point.
What I said was that he's the one who engineered the getting 75 or so percent of the $88 billion fine to be tax deductible. What kind of fine is that? And I guess he gets some of that. He gets a kickback on being a friend of the administration or whomever he had to squeeze to get a tax deduction on a fine. That's outrageous.
I mean, not to mention all the profits they made. I mean, you figure this is why these, you know, anywhere from the banks to employers violating labor laws, the reason they do it is because the amount of money they make doing it is much greater than any fine they potentially have to pay. Well, and then on top of that, it's tax deductible. I mean, that's just outrageous, you know.
Yeah, they did take a hit on their profit margin, but it was just it went from obscenely ridiculous to just ridiculous.
So, okay.
Anyway, carry on and don't keep this mime going about how we're going out of business. I think we need just to rally people to give whatever they can and don't feel bad about it. So we need community media in all stripes.
Indeed.
I'm going to quote something here.
Okay.
Yeah,
only the first $12,960 of wages paid to a worker in calendar year 2014 are subject to the payment of contributions.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Thank you.
Great day.
Bye. Okay. Bye. Okay. You're listening to the World Labor on WFT Community Radio Station in Champaign, Illinois. We're going to take a real quick music break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Yeah, man.
WFT, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, it's Neil from Not Another Sports Show.
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
Pretty good. I don't know if you guys heard the new Forbes information. I know, Dave, you don't read corporate media, but Forbes just released their recent valuations about NBA franchises.
Oh?
And as we know, in 2011, the NBA locked out its players.
Yes.
And this was widely seen as just a new way that management is dealing with workers, that they lock them out and demand concessions just because they want concessions, not because they actually need them.
Right.
And the NBA was widely seen as that, just being the most latest example of that. Well, the new Forbes valuations now show that only four teams are losing money, and those four teams that are losing money gained massive amounts of operational income, and that the entire lockout was a fake crying of poverty by the NBA to get further concessions from the players. They got a 7% concession in basketball-related income from the players,
mm-hmm.
and they also got a ton of extra benefits from crying poor, even
yeah.
though they're making huge amounts of money. And
yeah.
even when the teams that weren't making money, it was based on, you know, the Knicks. We're going to give Allen Houston a max contract for no discernible reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the player's fault in those instances. But, again, you know, it's just another instance where the employers are demanding concessions just because they think they can get them and crying poverty even though they're immensely wealthy.
Indeed. And a similar thing happened out in Washington State recently with Boeing. You know, they got one of the massive corporate subsidies from a state in history and then turned right around and forced a concessionary contract on their machinists, basically ending their defined benefit pension program and making them pay more of their health care. You know, and they're immensely profitable. They didn't need the bailout or the concessionary contract. So, yeah, this is part of the trend, obviously. And so what are you going to be talking about on another sports show today at 2 o'clock?
Oh, we will be looking at the NBA lockout. We also have an interview with an activist out of Tennessee, Kat Ashe, about a recent ESPN article called Dr. V's Magical Putter,
uh-huh.
in which Grantland, the ESPN website, and the author of the article outed a woman as trans to investors as well as to the general public, and the woman ultimately committed suicide before the piece was published.
Oh, wow.
And so we'll be talking with her about trans issues in media. And we'll also be looking at just the live world of sports and political activism and enjoying the awesome irony of the fact that two of the states that have decriminalized or legalized marijuana, Colorado and Washington, now have the Seahawks and the Denver Broncos playing in, they're going to meet up for a Super Bowl.
Is that a joke?
It's just one of those delicious pieces of irony.
Okay, yes, indeed it is. Well, Neil, thank you so much for calling in.
All right, thank you.
Take care, bye.
There.
Okay, that was Neil Parthen, who's the host of the None Other Sports Show program that airs every Saturday from 2 to 3 at WRFU, another community radio station across town. And that's the thing about community media is that we don't compete. We, you know, actually try to help, you know, each other out because, you know, we realize the more community, you know, media, the better. Because basically you're not going to be hearing, you know, a lot of different opinions or a lot of different types of music on in the corporate media. So anyway, we're actually out of time now. You've been listening to the World Labor Hour on WFT Community Supported Listener Radio. And stay tuned for the Union Edge with host Charles Showalter. And until next week, be safe and power to the people. Take care.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. Also, if you have a smartphone or a tablet,